Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
Dinner, 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 DNA, and just tickets. That's what I had. That's all I have. And this is Stranger Still. Wow, what a good energy to bring us up. The fact that I'm John Began and this is Stranger Still Podcast, a podcast where you learn about questioning things that you never thought to think about.
I'm Nick Wood.
And what are we going to talk about, Nicholas?
Wow, just jumping right in, aren't we?
Like a pool in my yard on a hot, steamy day and I'm on fire.
Well, I thought maybe you'd ask how I'm feeling today.
Oh.
No, it's fine. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
You're Irish is what you are.
Yeah, I am Irish.
I know.
You're jumping ahead here, John.
I'm jumping in a pool like I'm on fire on a steamy hot summer day.
So you go on Reddit from time to time, right?
Yeah.
Do you know of the subreddit TIFU, Today I F'd Up?
Nope.
So it's a subreddit. It's kind of like a confessions board, except there's also a subreddit specifically for confessions. But people will go on there and say, today I F'd up by feeding my brother's goldfish to my dog. Or something stupid like that. Some of the top posts are things like, today I F'd up by stuffing my face with edibles before dinner with my wife's parents. Today I effed up by living in a dark bedroom for 6 years. But the top post of all time on this particular subreddit has 154,000 upvotes, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Like, my whole karma across, like, 10 years of being on Reddit is 7,000.
Yeah.
So this one is titled, Today I effed up by buying everyone an Ancestry DNA kit and ruining Christmas. And that... Like, this is a theme on TIFU that could be its own subreddit. It's just people buying DNA ancestry kits and then figuring out that the person they thought their dad isn't actually their dad, or their siblings aren't actually their siblings.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I've learned a lot about myself from my uncles and grandma doing this. We'll get into a little bit.
Yeah. So that's how I got the idea for this. And yeah, it just so happened that I was on TIFU and saw these. And that's where I got the idea for this episode. Because today we're talking about DNA ancestry kits.
Yep.
If you haven't read the title or used context clues to figure that out yet.
Does anyone listen to us blind? Well, I guess if it comes on next, right? If it's up next.
That's true.
That could happen.
I don't know if we have any blind listeners, but I know my other podcast has at least 2 blind listeners.
Yeah.
Which is
kind of... then I guess that's an important reason to say what we're talking about.
Yeah. Just in case. You never know.
Yep.
So normally when people do these kinds of episodes where they're talking about DNA ancestry kits, they're like, and we did one ourselves and we got our results, but we didn't.
No, yeah, yeah.
Your uncle did.
But if you want to go to patreon.com/strangerstill in the future, we could do stuff like that.
Well, you know, I don't even think I would want to do...
What?
There's several reasons that we'll get into for why I don't like DNA ancestry kits. I was skeptical before I went into this episode and I came out of it not liking them.
Oh no, you don't want to sell your information to Big Pharma.
Dude, it's not even that.
And also know what you'll die of.
What diseases I might get.
Yeah.
No, it's... We'll get into it. Should we get into it? I think we should get into it. Should we get into it?
Do I have a choice? You just...
I mean, we can end the episode.
There's 3 people in this conversation and 2 of them are you right now. Yeah, so let's get into
it. My favorite line in Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed, the second live-action movie, is when Seth Green is like yelling at this dude in a parking lot, and then he turns around to Shaggy. He's like, oh, hey, Shaggy. He's like, well, I'm going to make like your personality in a split.
Insensitive Shaggy.
So anyway, first of all, you all might be wondering, where do these dang ancestry kits even come from in the first place? And John,
the government,
no, they're handing these out to track you across the United States.
Yep.
No, the whole thing comes from DNA. It's like that transition. So do you know what DNA is?
Yeah, I've got a lot of it.
You do have everyone has an abundance of DNA. It's, God, I even practice saying this, deoxyribonucleic acid.
Wow.
DNA stands for. And they are these, they're, little strings of information. They're made up of these molecules called nucleotides, and you might be familiar with the four letters of the different types of nucleotides. Do you know those off the top of your head?
Oh my god, RNG.
No.
I'm thinking of the other
random number generator.
The RNA.
RNA. Yeah. They are GATC, which I always remember because
gotta go to the movie. Gattaca,
yeah. This stands for guanine, adenine, thymine, and cytosine. So they live inside of your cells. Every single cell in your body has a string of DNA, and it tells your body how to form itself. So they're passed down from your mother and your father and their mothers and their fathers. And depending on what your DNA says, you might end up with blue eyes or red hair, or you might be tall or short or have an extra finger.
Right. I had the Danny DeVito DNA. That's why I look exactly like him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Flawlessly. You're both New Yorkers, Italianish,
mm-hmm.
or so I thought.
And you both didn't get to voice Detective Pikachu.
No. Yeah.
So they're in your body. There's something like 3 billion nucleotides to make up a strand of DNA, but every nucleotide is made up of two of the letters, basically. They're paired up, so that's more like, did I say 3 million? Because I meant 3 billion, so the pairs make up 6 billion.
No one will ever know, there's no rewind.
Yeah, right? So the DNA is like, it makes up your genetic code. There's 6 billion lines of this stuff. So when a scientist takes a sample of your DNA and writes out that code, basically, that's called DNA sequencing. So they take this long string, they type it into a computer one letter at a time, and that's kind of where our story begins.
That's not what they do, Nick.
That's not what they do.
They take a really long pencil.
I was bluffing.
Longer than the string.
So the technology on this stuff is moving really fast. It wasn't until 1953 that the structure of the DNA was finally discovered, that double helix shape was in 1953. And I guess since then we were like, now what? But in 1990, the Human Genome Project was launched. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Do you think there's like some cool scientist out there that has like a cool loft? And he's got like a ladder that looks like a DNA.
Absolutely.
And you climb up and you're like, oh, how fun. I got a twist.
I was at the park the other day and there's like a ladder that's shaped like a double helix.
Wow.
Yeah. It looks like DNA.
Go grab that for the picture.
Yeah. So in 1990, the Human Genome Project was launched. It was this international effort to sequence the entire human genome in 15 years. And by 2000, they had a rough draft of the human genome, so they got most of it with some margin of error.
Yeah, throw that in a 3D printer and you get a
little baby.
Uh-huh.
Just magic.
It's close enough. You get a first draft baby.
Yeah. You gotta wait for the final draft. No one wants a first edition baby.
Yeah, you gotta work out the kinks first. Yeah. Wait for Apple to revamp it.
Yeah, never buy a new phone in the first year.
Right.
So by 2003... they completed the project with a reported 99% of the DNA sequenced with like 99.9% accuracy. So, I mean, it's not 100%.
Yeah.
But it feels even more recent. Like, all of this discovery feels even more recent when you realize that the same year that Rough Draft was published in 2000, a company called Family Tree DNA was founded with the goal of offering DNA genealogy research.
Now, don't you wish that more things were accomplished in 2000 just for cleaning up math?
Oh, yeah, that would make life a lot easier.
Right? We could just round up and down, right? Did anything cool happen in 1999?
Well, it did, but it was all wiped out by Y2K.
So. Oh, right. Yeah. Good thing we got a fresh start.
I know. We need another one of those. I'll have to wait another 1,000 years.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well,
eat vegan.
Eat vegan. You'll live 1,000 years. So only 4 years after the project was complete, so in 2007, the first at-home kit was sold by 23andMe, and they're still around today. And I think by later in 2007, they had sold like 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
By now, 23andMe has sold over 10 million of these kits.
Yeah. Do you think they got the idea of 23andMe from a Taylor Swift song or something? It sounds like one. Doesn't it?
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 23.
Turning 23andMe and my guitar on this porch with my porch set. Gonna kiss my lips on the porch with the guitar.
No, they actually got it because in the body there's 20, in DNA there's 23.
There's 23 bones. That's right. 23. Count them up. 1 to 23.
So I think Ancestry DNA, like Ancestry.com was a thing. They launched Ancestry DNA very close behind. Now Nat Geo has one. There's a billion of these out there. Not all of them are created equal, which we'll get into. There's lower end kinds, I'll call them.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this company called Origin, but the E is a 3, so it's like Orge 3. And Sure. And they make things like the superhero, which it's a kit that tells you what your superpowers are.
Wow.
Which, I mean, just basically tells you...
athletic muscle mass.
Right. It tells you, like, if you would make a good runner, or if you'd be good at basketball because you can jump high, or if you'd make a good swimmer, or if you're super smart. Just a note on that last one, these DNA tests can't tell you if you're smart. I mean, there's DNA that can say you might be more predisposed to be a smarter person, but there's a lot of environmental factors.
Right. There's a, I think there's one called, there's one test that costs $5,000.
Yeah.
And if you sign up for that, it does tell you you're not smart because there are cheaper options.
You spent $5,000 right. on it. So they also offer behavior tests, beauty kits to tell you like...
how beautiful you are?
Like what kind of makeup to use to accentuate parts of your body.
Oh.
Yeah. They also sell child development
I'm looking
kits.
For some shoulder mascara.
No, it's shoulder contouring. Get it right. Have you watched enough YouTube beauty tutorials?
Okay.
I have.
Yeah, glamorous Nick. Over
well, it's glam and gore is what I watch. Thanks, Helen of Falling in Love Montage Podcast. It's
okay.
All your fault.
I'll contour my shoulders. Jeez.
But there's also, there's some out there like Geno Palette, which is supposed to tell you what type of diet you should have based on your DNA. All of these are bunk.
I wonder if PETA would come up with something for, I mean, I'm trying to think of other companies. Like, maybe McDonald's could have a straw return program, and they could tell you, like, if you're, you know.
Oh, yeah, you just spit in the
what
straw.
Your race is.
Yeah.
And what kind of burger you'd like better.
Yeah. If you'd like a quarter pounder or Big Mac.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you'd like fries or apple slices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you. So these awful tests are anywhere from like $30 to $80, depending on how many things they test, how many genetic variations they test, which we'll talk about a little bit more. There's also some of these that you can run on your pets to figure out how purebred they are.
I've wanted to do that because there are animals that are prone to stuff like arthritis and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like dachshunds have back problems.
Mm-hmm. And you could get
breathing problems. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's actually useful.
Yeah.
That's useful information to have. And they're about $80 for those. But there's also, if you really want like rigorous testing, like your doctor wants to have your DNA totally sequenced so they can look at genetic links to diseases, there's prescription DNA test kits. They're upwards of like $700. So if you're going to go for that, it's probably because your doctor is going to tell you to do it. But the ones we all know and love are the ones like 23andMe or Ancestry DNA, Family Tree, Nat Geo, all those ones. And they started off with the goal of telling you where in the world Carmen Sandiego is.
Right.
No, where in the world your ancestors came from.
I'm still with you.
But some of them went on to maybe tell you if your family had a history of genetic related disease like Alzheimer's, or if you might be predisposed to certain types of cancer, that sort of thing. These days, those kits cost around $200, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the more interesting ones. Those are the ones that everyone always talks about. So that's what we're going to be talking about for the better part of our episode. And
what are we going to talk about in the worst part?
The worst part, I think, is behind us. We were talking about...
H, it's all uphill now. It's
McDonald's
all downhill.
And
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So
it just gets better.
It only gets better. So the point of me telling you all this is that just because they're cheap doesn't mean that they're good or scientifically backed. I think a lot of the like the superhero ones or the diet ones quickly become I don't want to say racist.
Yeah.
But kind of racist.
Yikes.
But especially, never mind. You can fill in the
I can figure it out.
So, but the other part is if you're looking for a value, the cheap ones only test like 4 different genetic variations, whereas the $200 ones test in the range of 600,000 genetic variations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How elastic are your elbows?
Right. So if you're looking
What you know, what kind of earlobes do you got? Do they do tricks? Can you pull on them? Are they stretchy?
Do they
tie them in a bow?
Yeah. But if you're looking for value, obviously you go for the $200 ones. You're getting the more genetic variation testing for your buck,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to figure out how to work into my lexicon. Instead of bang for your buck, genetic variation testing for your buck.
Yeah.
Are you with me still?
Yeah, it flows off the tip of your Irish tongue.
There's a lot of things that are going to flow off the tip of my tongue in this episode. But by now, I'm sure you're itching to know how this stuff works.
Yeah, scratch it. Scratch my itch with info.
Itch. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop
well,
it.
Geez,
now I'm itching.
Well, if
Come
I just
on.
Yawn, is that going to help too?
Now everyone in the audience is itching and sneezing.
I meant yawning.
I wasn't real.
Sneezing. So every company has their own way of slicing the DNA, but it's all sort of the same.
Ouch.
I just won't tell you exactly what it is. I know, it sounds painful, but I promise you it's not. So there's a good list of comparisons if you're looking for the types of things that they run through tests, how many genetic variations they test, etc. There's a really good website out there called the International Society of Genetic Genealogy Wiki, which rolls off the tongue. It's you can just go to isogg.org, and they compare stuff like prices, the method of acquiring the DNA, so if it's like a cheek swab or you spit into
guy
a
guy in an alley,
that goes downhill quickly.
Yeah.
The amount of DNA they slice and dice, the size of their database they're comparing your DNA against, all that kind of stuff. It'll show you right there for the top sellers. So I'm not going to go through all of the things that each company does. I will touch on a few just so you kind of get an idea, but if you want to know more, go to isogg.org.
Wow.
It rolls off the tongue.
Not a sponsor.
Isog.org.
Isog.
Isog. So we'll be discussing the high-level stuff. Let's say that you've purchased one of these things. Sometimes you can get them from Target or Walmart. I think Target sold them around Christmas time. You can also order them from their own website or Amazon. And when you open the thing up, it's going to come with a set of instructions that's very important. I'll get to why in just a second.
Oh, no.
It'll come with a method of obtaining your DNA and then a pre-labeled shipping package to send it back to the company. So when I say read the instructions, make sure you read the damn instructions.
Yeah. It comes with, I mean, I think most of them come with the basic, like a vial, a Ziploc bag to whisper your secrets into, and they listen to them when they open it at the factory.
A lot of people just fart into those bags and send it back.
It's a prank that's not worth $200.
So, the method of obtaining DNA is supposed to be stupid proof. They'll either give you, like I said, a cotton swab or a vial that you spit into. With the cotton swab, you just swab the inside of your cheek, you put it into a little bag, you seal it up, and you send it in. With the spit vial, you spit into it.
Yeah.
But for both of these, they want you to brush your teeth and rinse out your mouth with mouthwash.
And maybe, don't make out with a cutie beforehand.
Exactly. You want to do the mouthwash because it kills any foreign bacteria, and then you spit or swab. But apparently, I was reading an article, I think it was from Cracked or something. They talked to the lab workers at some of these places, and they've said they've received samples with chunks of food in there.
Oh,
or
God.
People thought it was okay to just I did the whole thing, I'm going to take a quick drink, and then I'll do it, which isn't okay. Now you have more foreign bacteria.
You're related to Jack Daniel.
The Jack Daniel? That's the only result we got.
Also, your blood is probably alcoholic. You should.
Yeah.
Or your spit is.
So there's one dude that apparently sent in a whole vial of semen because he thought that's what you're supposed to do. And they're like, how in the hell did you get it that wrong?
Yeah, that would really fit in on that Reddit sub.
Yeah, today I effed up by sending in a vial of semen to 23.
And now I have a son.
Yeah, I have many sons. I mean, if you just want to do that, just become a sperm donor. But anyway, once you've got the swabbing and spitting done, you package it up, you send it in, you get results in about 2 months. Depends, 6 to 8 weeks. So once they get it, they slice it and dice it. It catches the mices.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
I know. So this is where all the proprietary stuff comes in. They do all the slicing and dicing through a process called single nucleotide polymorphism testing. Rolls out the tongue. Which we will now refer to as SNP testing, because that's a lot easier. So they feed your DNA into a computer. The computer starts looking for patterns in your DNA. And remember what I said before about what DNA is made up of?
R and a bunch of letters.
Nucleotides.
Right.
So as the computer's moving along these strings of nucleotides, about every 1,000 nucleotides, it'll come across a cluster of nucleotides called a single nucleotide polymorphism, an SNP. And these are what's in your DNA that decides what color of hair you have, or what color of eyes you have, or your weird but kind of cute toes, or if you're going to develop Huntington's disease later on in your life, or if you have an innie belly button versus an outie belly button, or if you have IBS, or all of these things are featured in the SNPs. Did I lose you?
No, I'm with you. They sound delicious.
I don't know if I lost you.
Delicious clusters of cute toes or something.
I know you don't like farts, so I didn't know. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah.
So what the DNA testing companies do is they tell the computer to look for specific SNPs, and it'll just, once it finds them, it reads it to figure out what, if you have brown hair, what color eyes you have, all that stuff, all the things I already mentioned. And it takes that information and tries to guess where your ancestry is. And I want to stress that it's guessing where your ancestry is from. And like I said before, they're looking at hundreds of thousands of SNPs. It depends on which company it is. So like when I was talking about the...
So they compare to the database and say, most people that have these traits are from this place.
That's exactly what they do. But before I get there, there's four different types of SNP tests that I want to clarify real fast. Some companies run them all. Some leave a couple out. There's reasons why. So the first one is a Y chromosome SNP test. And these can only be run on males because, or people with Y chromosomes, because if you don't have a Y chromosome, they can't test it. It's as simple as that. So companies like 23andMe or Ancestry do that. Family Finder doesn't. I think it's kind of weird because the only thing that you can get from Y chromosome testing is very recent relative information. You're not going to find a long lineage of information. That's the same for the next two tests, which are X chromosome SNP tests, which can be run on everyone. It looks like pretty much every company does this. And mitochondrial DNA SNPs, which like everyone does except for MyHeritage. And all of these samples are very small just because they're not getting a lot of information from
them. Wow. You think any of these companies team up with Steve Wilkos so that people have something to watch in waiting rooms at hospitals?
You think that people just wait around 2 months to have their DNA sequenced?
I just think that no one really watches Steve Wilkos except for waiting rooms.
Oh, okay.
And I think that they always say, are you the father? And that would be a good sponsorship deal for them.
That would be good. Are you thinking of Maury?
I should hook that up. I mean, there's a bunch of... He's another version of that.
Oh, okay. Maury's the one I know.
It's Jerry Springer and then Maury and Steve Wilkos.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm with you. So the number of SNPs they look for on the Y chromosome is anywhere from like 482 to 3,733. Or I think MyHeritage or Nat Geo does like 20,000 SNPs on the Y chromosome.
I feel like I trust Nat Geo the most of these for some reason.
Well,
I don't know why.
Because they're nonprofit.
There we go.
It's a nonprofit organization. Most people test on the X chromosome 16,000 SNPs, and then in the mitochondrial DNA, it's 200 to 4,000 SNPs. So the X and Y chromosomes only account for one of the 23 pairs of chromosomes that we have in our body. And that's where the real money comes in, is on the remaining 22 chromosomes. And that's where a lot of these companies are testing 600 to 700,000 SNPs.
Wow. It's so weird that we have the same amount of chromosomes as bones in our body, too, as I mentioned earlier.
Isn't that weird?
The skull bone.
Science, like...
The chest bone.
It can't be a coincidence, right?
Right.
So...
That's not true, guys. You have a lot of bones.
I know. 206 bones, mister.
Or more. We don't know yet.
If you break one and it snaps in half, then you have an extra one.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that how that works?
It's like a worm. That's how you get extra bones.
So this last testing, I forgot to say the name, is autosomal SNPs. That's the remaining chromosomes are called autosomal chromosomes. So if you're running the X or Y SNPs, it's really good for finding like a lost sibling or like a parent that left your life and you want to reconnect with. Those are really accurate in on such small numbers.
I've seen that in action too.
Yeah,
I've gone to the grocery store and the manager says, every kid that walks in, I need you to spit in this vial in case you get lost in this grocery store so we can find you later.
Yeah.
It finds lost children.
We lost our daughter for like, what is it, 6 to 8 weeks, and we found her.
In Hy-Vee?
Yeah.
In
thanks to these testing.
Yeah.
That's not true, by the way. So when they run, they run a lot of tests on the autosomal chromosomes to figure out, that's where they try to figure out where your ancestors came from. And they're running a lot, so it certainly begs the question, how accurate is it? And the answer to that comes down to how they decide where your 600,000 SNPs may have come from in the world. And this is where my skeptical hat comes on, because things get a little hokey from here. You might disagree. It's okay. We can disagree on this show.
Can we?
No.
Okay.
If you disagree, you're out the door.
This is the truth zone.
So let's choose some genetically linked trait in a person. Go for it. That we can use as an example.
What? This is going to be... How am I going to say this without sounding racist no matter what race I pick?
Just say like...
Italians like a pizza.
No, like genetic.
That's genetic. You think it's not genetic?
How about like thick eyebrows versus thin eyebrows? Does that work?
Yeah, that works for me.
Like that's universal.
On fleek versus not on fleek.
Right. Let's call them fleek eyebrows.
Okay.
So let's say It's a genetic trait that you have on fleek eyebrows.
Okay.
And they plug that into the database, and they find that through their research that, for example, that the fleek eyebrows are found 50% probability that it came from England, 25% that it maybe came from like West Africa, 25% came from China. So there's the three probabilities for on fleek eyebrows. So then they take another trait like
long eyelashes.
Long eyelashes. I'm sticking with the eyes here.
Yeah.
And they run it through their system and they find that there's a 50% probability that it came from England again, but 0% from West Africa, 25% from China, and 25% from Russia or something like that. So now based on these two traits, there's a 50% probability that you came from England. There's a 12.5% chance that you came from either Africa or Russia. And then there's a 25% chance that you came from China.
That's cool.
With me so far?
Yeah.
So they run through 600,000 of these. That's just two. They do that a lot more times
yeah.
for like any possible thing in your genetic code. And what they're doing is they're trying to narrow it down to where your ancestors likely came from. So as Life Science put it, if 23andMe test says that you're 29% British, it's because 29% of the places or pieces of your DNA were most likely to have come from a group that 23andMe's reference library has labeled as British.
Yes.
So there's two main problems that I see with this. And the first is that the percents they give you are only as good as their database. And they fill up their database through people that they say have reliably sourced back their heritage. They do independent research. They also use self-reports.
Yikes.
So, I mean, there's a degree of error that can occur with humans.
I would have told you up until about a week ago I was on like at least 50% Italian.
Right. So
I found out I'm like Jewish too.
Yeah. But I mean, all these databases are private, obviously, because there's a lot of personal information in here. But you also don't know what they do for their independent research or how well vetted their self-reports are. But it's also filled with people that have used the service. So as of April 2nd of this year, 23andMe had, like I said before, 10 million users in their database. Ancestry DNA has 15 million. Nat Geo only has like 230,000, which is still a lot, but they can use these people's results to do a little bit more digging, a little bit more research, figure out how close they were to matching these people, and then feed that back into the database. So if someone in England whose heritage goes all the way back to England gets a test back and it says like 80% British and 20% Australian.
Wow. What a hard business to break into too, you know?
I know.
We should start our own database. I'll throw in Italian good eyebrows, and yeah. You can throw in like, you know,
Irish potato love.
Yeah, you love potatoes.
I do love me some raw potatoes. And I passed that raw to my daughter. Oh, yeah. We eat them like apples. Oh, so good.
What?
You peel them. You peel them and then you wash them and they're very good.
Okay, I believe you. It's a vegetable. I'm proud of you.
It's very starchy, though. Anyway, so this all creates a problem, a separate problem, where they have a lot of people from European countries that they can reliably point to, and they can break it down to spot differences between places like British and Irish. They can spot that close of a difference. But when it comes to...
It's pronounced Bri-rish. Okay.
Bri-rish. But when it comes to groups like Native Americans, apparently a lot of times they'll combine Inuit and Navajo into one category.
Yeah, that's not good.
Which I don't know if you know.
Not a good look.
But Navajo come from Arizona and Utah, and the Inuit come from Canada, Greenland, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of two varying areas of the world.
Yes.
So that's its own problem in and of itself. And my second problem with their databases is they don't make the percents that they're giving to their users clear enough. So they say 50% or British, 25% Russian, 25% whatever. And that doesn't mean that's where your ancestors came from. That just means that you're likely to share your DNA with like 50% of the people that came from England or from Russia or whatever. That's all that it means is it's a probability. But then you hear people say like, hey, I just found out I'm 18% Latvian.
So maybe people are just not reading it because they're just getting the bare basics. And you've done the research to find out how it really works, but right. We haven't done it ourselves
but
yet.
I get the feel from these companies uh-huh. that like they don't make an effort to educate these people, because if they did, they wouldn't sell. Because like I had this weird instance where we decided to do this episode with our Facebook poll forever ago. So I researched it, and then just today my cousin posted, this 23andMe stuff's pretty great. And one of their friends commented, let me try to find this comment on here. I don't want to call them out. I don't know this person. They said, in further research of each holo group, which is like your or haplo group, is like far back descended group. Mm-hmm. They said, I am descended from St. Luke, Napoleon, Mary Antoinette, Prince Philip, and Susan Sarandon on my mother's side.
Yeah.
And George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Grover Cleveland on my father's.
Uh-huh.
Which, uh-huh. That's not what... So it's a lot more interesting to say, find out who you might share DNA with.
What's tough is, like, I'd get so many butterflies in my tummy.
Yeah.
If I were to tweet at Susan Sarandon and tell her I was her son.
Right. That's the other thing. You take a step back and you look at that sentence. She's still alive. I'm pretty sure you know if you descended from her. It's not that you're descending from this, it's that you share DNA with a common ancestor, likely. And even then, they're just taking a guess at it. So I feel like for these companies, if they're like, find out how much DNA you share with people, it's not going to sell these kits. But yeah. if you say, like, you have the same common ancestor as Susan Sarandon, and these people are like, oh my god, I'm descended from Susan Sarandon,
yeah.
They're not going to be like, no. There's going to be like, I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Besides, if they start doing it that way, they're going to have to compete with other apps that help you share DNA with people, like Tinder.
Yeah. Well, there is, I think it's Iceland, maybe? They had to make an app that told you if you're related to someone, a prospective
lover. Before you smooch?
Yeah, because they're the, what is it? Because
it's a smaller town or whatever?
Well, because it's isolated, so there's a lot of very close relatives, and they don't know that they're relatives.
Wow.
So they, like, plug it into this app, and it tells them if they're related or not.
Wow, what an awkward first date.
Yeah, it's like...
You get a couple drinks, you get a couple smooches, let me pull my app up. Oh! What's up? Oh. How you talked to Uncle Hank lately?
Yeah. How's Cousin Susie doing?
Yeah, yikes. Actually, I take that back. I'm going to go with a yikes and a half on this one, Nick.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's got that little extra boost.
I'm going to give it a solid oof.
Oy.
So, maybe I haven't made it clear enough as to why I'm iffy on this stuff. Like, my least favorite thing is when these stories come out of, like, some racist prick who finds out he thinks he's 3% West African or something and then changes his whole worldview. Like, how about you just don't be a racist prick in the first place? Because we're all humans. We all come from the same species. Why can't you just not be an a-hole?
Yeah.
Why does it take this misunderstanding of information to change your worldview? That's a whole different tangent.
Was that an open question? Is it... I don't have an answer for that. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. So when you're taking these tests, just know that the percents they give you are an educated guess, but it doesn't mean that you are 3% Genghis Khan or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You want to recap? That's all I got, man.
Yeah, I found out I'm Jewish. It's pretty cool. My grandma.
Yeah, so tell me
that's
about
my recap.
Your test. What happened in your uncles?
My uncles got Italian and Jewish, 50-50. My grandma got 100% Italian.
Yeah.
And my grandfather's deceased.
Oh, okay.
So we added it together and we figured out he's probably Jewish. He might not have been any Italian at all, even though we thought... I mean, his family grew up in Naples.
Yeah.
And I thought that they were Neapolitan and Sicilian.
Yeah. But, that's just a guess.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all cool, guesses. Man. But then I felt even more New York, because what's more New York than being an Italian Jew from the Bronx? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I feel so close to Bernie.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about healthcare?
Oh, let me tell you a thing about healthcare.
Want to go on Fox News and talk about it?
Well, let me tell you this. Gotta stand up.
It's a really good impression.
Thank you. I've been working on it, and I found
your
out
your hairline is receding before my eyes.
It's going back just a little bit. Nice shine.
All right, well...
Receding by 1%.
The top 1%
of my head.
So, we got some more fun stuff to talk about. I want to take a break first, but when we come back, I want to talk about how DNA kits have helped solve cold cases.
Cool.
Murder cases. Pretty cool stuff. Should we take a quick break?
Boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo. That's the song.
That's the song. John.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I didn't see you behind the microphone. Where can people find us, Jonathan?
On StrangerStillShow.com. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to Pocket Cast. You can go to your friend's house and listen outside the window on their lawn at 2 a.m.
You can use their phone to subscribe to our podcast.
That's right. Take a friend's phone right now, subscribe to our podcast, leave a 5-star review. We will read it. I don't care what it says. It's got a swear word. We'll put a funny noise over it.
Yeah. We'll put the egg collect sound from Banjo-Kazooie.
You know it's a jaw harp?
Is that what that is?
I found out because I recreated created it accidentally.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
Because I downloaded a jaw harp from Banjo-Kazooie.
What is a jaw harp?
It's a thing that people put in their mouth and go...
Oh, I see. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Just pitch that up. And yeah.
Where can people support us best?
In our lower back, lumbar.
A lumbar support goes a long way.
You could also go to patreon.com/strangerstill or flyingmachine.network/patreon.com/flyingmachine.
I have no idea where you're going anymore.
Just Google it.
All right.
We also have links to everything on our site.
Yeah.
And we should start putting up our YouTube videos up there, too.
Yeah, we got some YouTube videos coming. And if you want to listen to some other shows on the podcast, John mentioned flyingmachine.network. All of the shows are listed there. So if you want to expand your podcast horizon, there's a lot of great shows on there. Like on the Potstarter podcast, Jay just talked about the Mueller Report, which is very near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's titled End of an Empire, which kind of hits it right on the head, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait for the Empire to strike back.
Well, I mean, there's a possibility. Tomorrow, as of we're recording this, rumors are that the Mueller Report's coming out, so...
Probably redacted.
Yes, but... Anyway, should we talk about some cold cases?
Do it.
Because there's one last thing we didn't talk about, which is services like GED Match, or I think it's GED.com, was set up by the Mormons. And these services let you upload the results you get from the DNA kit services. Some websites have a service where they'll like connect you with people that share DNA. So if you want to find like there's stories of people finding twins they didn't know they had, or a father that left for a pack of cigarettes and never came back, just to tap into my obsession.
I want to find a Nigerian guy that looks just like me or something like that.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that the services provide that. Some of the websites let you upload a GED match, and they compare your DNA, and I'm assuming like the XY and mitochondrial and the autosomal. Well, not the autosomal. Probably for this specifically, the XY and mitochondrial, because those are the ones that get you the close relative matches. And they have started using them to solve cold cases, some murders that have been solved or haven't been solved and went cold in like the 80s and 70s and stuff. And you've probably heard the story about the Golden State Killer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When this episode comes out, the next day, so the Thursday after this episode comes out, will be the 1 year anniversary of when they took James DeAngelo into jail. So what they did was they made a fake profile on GED Match. They found some DNA at one of the crime scenes of the Golden State Killer back in, what, 86? That's when the case went cold. He killed at least 13 people, raped at least 50, and committed over 100 burglaries. And they never caught him, so they set up this fake profile, uploaded the DNA they had, and found a match to someone somewhat related to him on the service, followed the trail back, and found James DeAngelo.
I think they even grabbed like some kind of drink he was drinking or something and got DNA on the straw to match it.
Oh, maybe.
Did you hear that?
I don't know.
I could be making that part up.
Oh, no, I think you're right. Yeah.
So I think they, after they found out who he might be, just to make sure.
They followed around, got his DNA off the straw, yeah. So a little bit closer to home, this was just last December in my hometown of Cedar Rapids, now where you live as well, sucker. There was this woman who was murdered in the Westdale parking lot in 1979. I used to work at Westdale, so we always thought it was haunted by this poor woman. There's like, I forget what they called it, there's this really spooky hallway that they said she haunted, and I never went down it. But anyway, they had some DNA from this murder, and they plugged it into one of these databases, and they found Jerry Lynn Burns and solved another murder 39 years after the
cold. Was he living in town still?
He was close by. He wasn't in town. He was like 40 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
Like Manchester or something. He was like at his job, and they rolled up and arrested him.
Jeez.
So it's crazy what they're doing now. And obviously, I think this is a great thing. Like, if I were to take one of these DNA tests, it would only be for a service like this. But people get really freaked out. They're worried about privacy and all that.
Yeah.
And like, literally just yesterday, as I was researching this, as I was looking into the Golden State Killer, there's an article from The Verge that said it raises all sorts of questions about ethics, consent, and just how far law enforcement can go in pursuit of their killer. Which I think, duh? They should go to any length to find a killer. Why does it matter that they're looking in a DNA database?
I don't know. You don't want to go through their browsing history on their internet. That's too much.
Right. What kind of state? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But the only other, like, I think the angle they're trying to take is like the Patriot Act type deal, where it's like you don't want to have your own privacy at some point.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this, like, go for it, yeah. I think.
I'm weird on privacy because, like...
But the whole I have nothing to hide argument, I don't buy it. Like, you should still have some privacy, I think.
I think there's a degree of privacy you should have, but, like, if you didn't kill someone, you should be fine.
Yeah.
You have nothing to worry about. But, like, I don't know. Technology is good.
But it could be used for racism. It could be used to stop people from getting jobs. Yeah. Like,
that's dangerous. I heard something the other day, which is people always look at the net loss and ignore gains of the same size, something like that. I feel like this is what it's like. Everyone's like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my privacy. But we're going to find killers.
Yeah.
Why? Oh man, you're going to be able to match me to a third cousin who killed someone. Oh God. How dare you look at my DNA like that? I feel so exposed. That's so stupid.
So there's a gray area there.
There is a gray area, but like you're gonna solve murders.
Yes.
What's better than that? That's like the
not murdering?
The next coolest thing would it be if you could invent time travel to go back in time at the scene of these crimes and figure out exactly what happened when it happened.
Oh no.
This is like the closest that we could get to that.
But that sounds like terrible too.
No, it's awesome. What are you talking about?
Then they didn't do it yet. They're innocent.
it's
Minority Report.
Yeah, exactly. It's our first Tom Cruise.
I didn't do it, but you were thinking about it. Like, come on.
Yeah. That's the step after it. We get some precogs up in here. We'll have to donate one of our precogs. We have a precog here that tells us what you guys want to hear.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot of work because we have to always check the pH in the water.
Yeah, and they only want to eat mandarin oranges.
It's really odd. They're hard to get this time of year.
I know. I mean, they're coming into season, but like February, where am I getting these?
Yeah.
If they're not fresh enough, they're spitting them back out in the pool, and then we have to change all the water.
And then you got to change the water out, drain it out. It takes like an hour.
But we get to play Mario Party while we wait for the pool.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Up,
so yeah, and they'll tell us who wins.
Yeah.
Before we even play. It ruins it every time.
It does ruin it every time.
I'm still John.
But I got endgame spoilers.
Oh.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.